Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Angela gave me something and she said, God gave this to me a few weeks ago. It just didn't seem appropriate. And she says, if you feel like it's appropriate today, use it. And I was going to share it last week and I forgot about it. It just didn't work. But I feel like this is what God wants to share with us now. It says, how can you ask what this outpouring that is happening? Have you not read? Have you not heard? I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. I will fill my people with a fresh and new anointing so that they cannot contain it. It will be powerful. It will be complete. It will be so manifest that it will make you uncomfortable. But don't hesitate. Don't shrink back. Go boldly into the anointing. Step boldly into the flow of my spirit. God wants to do something that's going to make us uncomfortable. And yet, isn't that what change is? Outside of changing your socks and your underwear, how many know change is uncomfortable? When you have to do something differently, it's uncomfortable. And if God wants to change us and do something new, it's probably going to make us uncomfortable, but He wants us to boldly go into it. I believe God has a purpose and a plan for our church. He wants us to do something powerful in Casper and be one of the ones that lead the way. He doesn't just want us to go through church and have a great service and we come in and we go out and we just go week after week. But I believe God wants to do something supernatural in our city that touches and transforms lives. And we see thousands, not dozens, not hundreds, but thousands of people come to know Jesus. And it's up to us. It's up to us. We are the body of Jesus. If Jesus is going to do anything today, it's up to His body to do it. We're His body. It's up to us under the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, this morning we are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit, the Ghost. And today I want to talk about speaking in the Spirit's language. A few weeks ago, when we were celebrating my daughter's graduation, we had 21 people in our house, and the air conditioner quit working. Now, when you have just your regular family in your house, that's a bad time for it to quit happening. How many know when you got 21 people staying with you? That's a really bad time. We called called the air conditioner repair guy. He came out, and he repaired it. Thank God it was going again, and it wasn't too expensive. But he began to tell me, as he was working on it, he began to tell me how an air conditioner operates. And honestly, a lot of it just went right over my head. I didn't understand it. All I know is I was just glad that the air conditioner was working. I didn't have to understand it for me to use it. How many would agree with that on your air conditioner? Yeah. And here's the thing. I think there's probably several things, dozens, maybe hundreds of things that we use every week or several times a day that we don't understand how they work, but we use them anyway. For example, how many understand how your smartphone works? How you can have just a little tiny box and you can call someone on the other side of the world. I mean, if you would have told people that 40 years ago, they would have said you're nuts. A box that you carry around, not attached to anything, can contact anyone anywhere with another little box somewhere around the world. They would have said you're nuts. How many understand how the internet operates? How many understand how the microwave oven works? How many understand how your automobile works? I mean completely understand it. You get this. And yet here's the thing. Even though we don't understand these things, we still use them. And yet there's a lot of people today that say, I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I don't understand spiritual gifts. I don't understand speaking in tongues. And because I don't understand it, nope, not going to go there, not going to touch that, not going to do that. And yet, as we look at our own lives, there are dozens of things we don't understand, but we still use them because we see their benefit. And there's times, even when we understand how beneficial something is, we don't use it. Because when I first started ministry, personal computers were not that big of a deal. I remember in college there was one guy who had a computer, and it was a big monstrosity. He typed his papers. I was still on the old typewriter, okay? And I just know, you know, typing, I don't know, that was okay, but for me, when I did my sermons, I wrote them out by hand. But there was a lot of times as I was preparing, oh, that scripture there, I like it better here. That story goes better at the end than at the beginning. And so when I was done with my sermon, I'd get out a scissors, and I'd literally cut, and I would tape it, and you know, I'd have this hodgepodge of notes, and it was kind of sloppy. And so when the computer came out, and you could cut and paste, and it's a nice, clean document, and it's orderly, and it's nice and neat, and I could type a lot faster than I could write, even though I understood the benefit of a computer over writing my sermons out on legal paper, it took me a long time to get comfortable with the change. And here's the thing. God wants to do something in us through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, especially in the aspect of speaking in tongues. And because of a lot of us don't understand it, we don't go there. And this morning, I want to talk about speaking in the Spirit's language, speaking in tongues. And for those of you who you are brand new to church, or maybe you attended a church that they didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. They didn't talk about speaking in other tongues. And you know very little or maybe even nothing about it. You have picked a great day to be with us because we're going to be talking about that. And here's the thing I want you to understand. This is not something that we have made up. This is something that God has designed and devised, and it's found in Scripture. And it's still something that God wants us to use today. And my prayer is for those of you that don't know much about it or you're very uncomfortable with it, that by the time we're done, you'll understand. And maybe even some of you who are Christians, you'd be open and say, God, I want this gift. I want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, as we get started this morning, I first want to define the phrase speaking in tongues. Okay? Here's the thing. I think for when it comes to Christianity, there is probably nothing outside of maybe when is the rapture and that kind of thing, but there's nothing that maybe causes more confusion, more discomfort, more uneasiness, especially when you talk about the Holy Spirit, than speaking in tongues. Okay? What is speaking in tongues? If you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin this morning, speaking in tongues is when a Christian speaks in tongues, the Holy Spirit prays through him or her. That's what's happening. The Holy Spirit prays through him or her. The Spirit talks to God in a language that the speaker does not know. It is a language, okay? It's not gibberish. It's not gaga goo goo ba 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 ba. You know, it's, you know, I don't, how many ever watched that Zoom show many years ago on public broadcasting, and they spoke, I think it was like hubba bubba language or something like that, and it just sounded like they were making stuff up. It's not making stuff up. It's not gibberish. It's the Holy Spirit talks to God in a language that you and I, the speaker, do not know. And the believer is fully conscious. It's not like we go into a trance or, you know, our eyes roll back in our head. You're fully conscious, and it's also not we get in this supercharged, highly emotional state. No, it's the Spirit speaks through you in a language you don't know. And we see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word tongues there in the original language is glossa, which means language or languages. And so the people were speaking in languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the words to say. That's what it means when we say speaking in tongues. The Spirit gives you a language that you don't know, and you speak that language. And I think one of the greatest causes of confusion about tongues is that some churches, some pastors have taught that speaking in tongues is no longer relevant for the church, that it died out centuries ago. And there's a portion of Scripture that they use to back that up, and I want to debunk that myth today. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 8, it says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And so opponents of tongues will say that Paul was saying that tongues will cease. Now here's the question, when will it cease? They would go on to say, when you start reading, it says, whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Opponents of tongues will say the reference to when the perfect has come refers to when the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, was written. Because they say the Bible is the perfect revelation of God. And when that which is perfect, the Bible, has come, prophecy in tongues will cease. We don't need it anymore. And on face value, that seems logical, but there is a problem with that. And let me approach that problem by simply asking a question. How many of you would say that in our society, in our culture today, we still need knowledge about God? We need knowledge about what God says about life. How many would say we still need knowledge? That's almost every hand in here, okay? When you go back and you read verse 8, it's interesting what it says. I'm going to read it. It says, love never fails, but whether there's prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Look at this. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So if you follow the line of reasoning that the part of perfect was referring to the end of the Bible being finished, then you'd be saying, well, then we don't need prophecy, we don't need tongues, we don't need knowledge anymore. But I think we all readily understand we need knowledge. So when that verse says that which is in part, that which is perfect is coming, it's not referring to the end of the Bible. I believe what it's referring to is when Jesus comes again to the earth and he takes the Christians up to heaven and all of God's children are in heaven after the end of the earth. I believe that's what it's talking about. And when you read it in that context, it says, that which is in part will be done away. It makes perfect sense. That which is to come, when Jesus comes and takes us up to heaven, we're there. Look at verse 12. It says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, when we are in heaven, when we see Jesus face to face, it says, now I know in part, but then when we are in heaven, I shall know just as I am made known. Paul was teaching that, yes, tongues will cease, but not when the Bible is done, but when all of us get to heaven. You think about it, when we all get to heaven, we're going to know everything. I think God's just going to tell us everything. You know, how many would say, man, there's some questions I'd really like to ask God about. If I had 5 minutes with God, I'd ask him right now. Do you really think God's going to sit there and every single person who has a question is going to come and ask him the questions and he's going to answer them for us? I mean, I know we have eternity and he'd have the time to do that, but I just think he's going to download, boom, give us all that knowledge, give us all that revelation, give us all those facts and principles and all the things that we wonder about. In heaven, we're going to not know in part as we do now. We're going to know perfect. We're going to have the full revelation of God. We won't need prophecy, won't need tongues, won't need knowledge. And so tongues is still viable today. It did not die out in the first century. Now, there's a second thing that causes confusion about speaking in tongues. And I know some people say, well, Paul said, tongues, not everyone speaks in tongues. But then Peter, he says everyone does speak in tongues. And so it seems like there's a contradiction. And I know some people think that I shouldn't speak in tongues because Paul said not everyone does. But what we have to understand is there's two different aspects of tongues. Peter's addressing one while Paul is addressing the other. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, Peter said to the people, this is the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And we read Acts 2:4, how they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What happened? As they're speaking in tongues, people that were from out of town heard the 120 speaking in tongues, and they said, these guys, some of them heard them speaking in their own language, and some were amazed, but some said they're drunk. And Peter says, they're not drunk. And he goes on to preach a message to them. Near the end of the message, this is what he says. And basically, when he preached this message, he says, you guys, you killed Jesus. Jesus was the Savior of the world. He was the Messiah, and you killed him. You need to repent of your sin and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, and that promise is the one that we looked at a few weeks ago when we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. Write down in your notes Acts 1, 4 and 5, okay? Because we looked at those verses a couple of weeks ago, and that promise where Jesus says, I'm going to give you the promise of the Father, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit, and when you do, you'll receive power to be witnesses. Peter said, that promise is to you and to your children and to all, say all who are afar off. Everyone who gets saved, this promise of having Holy Spirit baptism with power is to everyone. You see, Paul is talking about that. He's saying all of us should be baptized in the Spirit. Now, this is what Paul says. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 10. And it says, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another a prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Then in verses 28 to 30, Paul says God's appointed different people to do different things in the body of Christ. He says, are all apostles? And basically the answer is no. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And when people say, do all speak in tongues, they say, see, not everyone is supposed to speak in tongues. And here's the thing. Peter and Paul are talking about two different things. If you're taking notes this morning, number one, Peter is talking about tongues as a personal prayer language. Tongues is a personal prayer language and a physical sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago, when we talked about the power and the promise of the Father, we said how they were going to receive power, but they not only received power, they received something else. They received a supernatural language. And what's interesting, when people thought they were drunk, Peter says, they're not drunk. Look at verse 15 of Acts chapter 2. It's on the screen this morning. He says, these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, which was 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, they haven't been drinking. It's too early to get drunk. But this speaking in tongues that you're hearing, is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. That in the last days, says God, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Paul says, this is what Joel was talking about. This, the speaking in tongues, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. July 4th is coming in a few days, okay? Now, besides the calendar, I know the calendar tells it July 4th, but what is the sign? How do you know July 4th is coming? Fireworks. How many have heard some fireworks around town? Yeah. You know it's the 4th of July because the sign is fireworks. Now, let me ask you this. Is that what 4th of July is about? No. It's about our independence. It's about our freedom. Freedom to worship God. Freedom to speak. Freedom of the press. Right to bear arms. How many got arms to bear? How many got weapons? Yeah. You know, we have these freedoms, and we celebrate the 4th of July, but the sign that the 4th is here is fireworks. And here's the thing. When it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, many people mistake the sign of the baptism for what it's about. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about tongues. It's about power. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The baptism is about power because here's the thing. You and I are the body of Jesus. And Jesus kept us here to accomplish his work. And he wants us to have the power to do his work, power to witness, power to minister, power to impact people's lives, to bring the presence and the power and the message of God into circumstances, to bring freedom, to bring liberty, to bring wholeness, to bring redemption. That's the purpose. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to give us power. And here's the thing. Tongues is the sign that you've received the power, just as fireworks is the sign that the 4th of July has come. And so God wants to give us power, but he also, in the process, wants to give us tongues. And in your notes, it says, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive two things. One, supernatural power, and number two, a supernatural language. It's a language that the Holy Spirit speaks through you. You don't know what it is. When I speak in tongues, when I pray in tongues, worship in tongues, I have no idea what I'm saying. That's because the Holy Spirit is speaking through me to God. And there is five times in the book of Acts when you see the Holy Spirit being poured out, and it says they were baptized or filled in the Spirit. Three of those times, and if you want to write these down, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, Acts 2, 10, and 19, those three times, tongues is specifically mentioned as coming with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of those times, Acts chapter 8, was when Philip is preaching a revival in Samaria, and Peter and John come to lay hands on people and to give them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when they do, something so amazing happens, something so physically evident that Simon, who was a sorcerer that received Christ, he said to Peter and John, I want to pay you money so I can have the ability to give people the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, what did Simon, a guy who knows how to do tricks and illusions and all these things, who's maybe even aware of demonic activity and how to do different things and see the power of the supernatural work, what amazed him so much he's willing to pay money for it? It wasn't, we can deduce it's not miracles and healings, because Philip had done those. When you read the early part of chapter 8, physical healings had taken place as Philip prayed for people. Miracles were happening. This is something that is far and above, something very unusual that Simon saw. And you think about it, if tongues is the sign of the baptism, speaking in a language you don't know, I mean, wouldn't that be enough to impress you? I mean, hey, you think about it, what kind of money you could make, okay? How many want to take French in high school? I lay hands on you and I give you French. You know, you want Spanish, I lay hands on you. You know Spanish, boom. And that's what Simon thought. He thought God was giving them the ability, he thought that Peter and John were giving them the ability to speak in other languages. No, that was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. So that's the fourth one. And the fifth one is when Paul was actually baptized in the Spirit. We're not told anything about it, but here's something we do know. Paul spoke in tongues a lot. He says that in 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to read that in a little bit. But Paul definitely spoke in tongues. And when God baptizes us, he wants to give you supernatural power, but he also wants to give you a supernatural language. And that language, it helps you to pray. I know for me, there have been times when I get stuck when I'm praying and I run out of words in English and it's like, man, I don't know what to say anything anymore, but I still know I need to pray more. That's when I begin to pray in the Spirit. I begin to pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit brings a breakthrough. I remember there were times when Rebecca was really sick and not doing well, and there was times I'd get up to have devotions, and I tell you, I don't feel like praying. I've got nothing to pray. I'm numb. I feel like, God, where are you at? What are you doing? God, heal my wife. I don't see you at work. And I couldn't pray. And I just begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit would strengthen me and encourage me and help me. And that's what the Spirit does. When you pray in the Spirit, he strengthens you. He builds you up. He enables you. There's times that I use tongues when I'm petitioning God, when I'm asking things for myself or my family or for our church, and I'm praying, and then I kind of run out of something to pray. I don't know how to pray for anymore, but I still want to pray for that item I'm praying for and I'm asking God for, so I'll pray in tongues. And as I'm praying in tongues, God begins to give me some ideas, and then I'll pray in English, and I'll go back to tongues and just kind of have this chorus, this symphony of going from tongues to English, tongues to English. There's times when I'm interceding for a person, maybe for their healing, interceding for someone who's in a really bad way, and I'll do the same thing. When I get done praying in English, I'll pray in tongues for them and go back to English. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. He talks to God through you. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, "The Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Here's the thing, friends. God wants to give everyone a prayer language to help you pray, to strengthen you, to build you up. In your notes, it says, use your prayer language to worship, petition, intercede when you feel stuck or don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit builds you up as you pray in tongues. How many would say, I could use some building up this morning? How many could use some building up in your life? How many feel sometimes like you get at the end of the day and the world just tromped all over you and beat you down and you just kind of feel deflated and you need some building up and some picking up? Raise your hand this morning. Yeah, pray in tongues. I know a lady, she said, my favorite part of the day is my 30-minute drive after work. I have tongues therapy. You know, she doesn't go see a counselor. She sees the counselor, the Holy Spirit, and she prays in tongues on her way home from work, and it builds her up and it restores her so that she can be nice when she comes home to her husband and her kids. Isn't that a good thing? You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And Jude says that. In Jude chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith," how? "Praying in the Holy Spirit." And so this first aspect of tongues is that it is a prayer language given by the Holy Spirit that also serves as a sign of the baptism, that you have been empowered by God. And that's what Peter was talking about, this promise of supernatural power and supernatural language is to all. Okay, it's a prayer language for everyone. All right, here's what Paul was talking about. You ready to move on? In your notes, Paul's talking about not a prayer language, but tongues as a message to other people. It's when the Spirit talks through you and gives a message in a public church service. He gives a message to people. It's not a personal prayer language for you, but it's when you speak out and you give a language to everyone. And that's what Paul was talking about. And Paul is saying not everyone will give a public message in tongues, but everyone will speak in tongues who has the baptism. That is for everyone. And I think there's a lot of people that don't understand this difference between a personal prayer language and a public message. Because I was talking to a guy one time, and he was saying, yeah, I don't speak in tongues much. And I said, oh, really? Why? And he says, well, because there's not much opportunity for it in the church. And I says, well, tongues is to be a prayer language that you use in your own personal life. Only some people speak in tongues and give a message in church, but we're supposed to use it on a daily basis. And I think a lot of people don't understand that distinction. Paul did, because he wrote about it in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verses 18 to 19. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Okay, how many of you knew Paul was from Texas, huh? He said, you all. I speak in tongues more than you all. That's proof Paul was from Texas. I'm sure the Texans would love to claim that, okay? But seriously, when Paul says this, he's talking about tongues as in his own personal prayer life. This is my language. When it comes to praying and singing with my understanding and singing in the Spirit, worshiping God in tongues, worshiping Him in my native language, when it comes to praying in the Spirit and praying in with my understanding, I speak in tongues more than you all. But now look what he says. He says, yet, verse 19, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. He says, when it comes to giving a public message in church, I'd rather give a prophecy than give tongues. And we're going to focus on prophecy and tongues next week in church, so I'm not going to dive into that, why he said that. Come next week, same bat time, same bat channel, same bat station. We'll talk about that next week. But Paul distinguishes there is a personal prayer language that God gives me, and it is a strong part of my relationship with Jesus. And then there's also the use of tongues for a public message. And friends, every Christian can have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But not every Christian will then use that tongue to give a public message in a service. That's the distinction. Tongues is for you. Tongues is for today. Not just to say, look, I got tongues. No, it's to build you up, to strengthen you, for you to seek power and say, God, give me power to be a witness, to impact the world, to be the body of Jesus to those around me. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you a quick 5 steps. They're right there in the bottom of your notes this morning. You must be born again. If you haven't accepted Christ in your life, if He hasn't forgiven you of your sin, and He's not the leader, the Lord of your life, then you can't have it, but you need to be saved. That's the first place where you start. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number 2, you must believe it's for you. You must believe it's for you. Peter said, the promise is for you and your children and all who are afar off. In verse 17 and 18 of Acts 2, it says, in these last days I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. There are some of you here today, you don't think Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues is for you. There are some of you, you have went forward many times as a youngster, as a child. Maybe you went to camp and you didn't receive it. Maybe we've had guest speakers come, and you've come forward, and you've asked for that gift, and it hasn't happened. And he says, you know what? It's not for me. Friends, if the devil knows that Jesus has left his body on the earth, and that they need power to do his work, do you think the devil is going to try to discourage the body of Christ from having that power to do the work that Jesus wants done? How many think he wants to do that? He wants you to make you believe that it can't happen to you. And there's some of you, you struggle with doubts. This morning, I've been praying that God would set you free from doubts. You must believe it's for you because God says so in his word. The third step this morning is you must desire the gift. John 7, 37 to 39, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, say thirst with me. Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, because the Holy Spirit had not been yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. There are some of you, you believe that it's real, you understand it, but you're afraid of it and you don't thirst for it. Because you're afraid, maybe you saw someone do something really weird one time. They began to shake, or they got on the ground and they rolled around, or they did something really weird and funny. And he says, no way, I'm not doing that. And because you're afraid, you kind of say, I want it, but I'm afraid of it. And Jesus says, you must thirst for it. I've been praying this week that God takes away a spirit of fear. For God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Because Jesus wants you to have power and the devil doesn't. The fourth step is that you must ask for it. Luke 11:13. If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Some people go through life, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. No, Jesus said you have to ask. You have to say, Lord, here I am. Take away my doubts. Take away my fears. I want it. I want Holy Spirit baptism. And then last of all, you must do the speaking. The Holy Spirit will not talk through a closed mouth. He's not going to physically come up to you and go, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's not going to force you. You have to open your mouth. You have to do the speaking. That's how it happened on the day of Pentecost, that they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. They spoke. And so you must speak. There was one time we had Tim Enlow with us. Many of you know he's a Holy Spirit evangelist. And there was someone down front we were praying for. And there was this person. And they were worshiping God. And you could hear this gurgling. And Tim said, do you normally gurgle when you pray and worship God? And this person said, no. And Tim said, that's the Holy Spirit is there. You got to speak out what God is giving you. And so this person began to speak and began to speak in other tongues. But you have to do the speaking. Friends, Jesus wants to empower his body. Jesus cares about America. We had a word about America today, where we as the body need to step up. Jesus wants to give us a new anointing. We had a word that we read at the beginning, how Jesus, he said, hey man, this word that I'm giving, this anointing, this is not something you've never heard about. It is written, I want to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I think all of us in the body of Christ need a greater anointing, a new anointing, to see God move through us and touch this world.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.